Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
People say to me, what's it like working for Entrepreneur Magazine, Entrepreneur Media? And I go, it's cool. That's what it is. You know, I get to work with people that get it. Entrepreneurs are problem solvers. You got a problem? Somebody that solves it, you probably look at them and go, yep, that's an entrepreneur. Lydia Bellinger is on the line, associate editor at Entrepreneur. Hi, Lydia.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So she's at the New York office right now in our spacious New York office in the television and radio studio, of which I know she's going, yeah, so spacious. But, you know, it's fun. I do have people ask me a lot about Entrepreneur, what's it like? And I always tell them, you know, it's just the people, the Entrepreneur people. And when I first started working with Entrepreneur, and I've worked with a lot of different magazines, is like the energy and the air in the room is so different because people are eager. They want to solve problems. And so I know a lot of people that are listening, you can tell when somebody's in the room, when you're out to dinner with somebody and they're an entrepreneur, because anytime somebody opens their mouth, starts telling a story, and the person comes to the end of that story, usually there's somebody in the room that'll say, well, if you had done this, it would turn out differently. And that's usually an entrepreneur. Very opinionated people, you know. Anyway, that's my dad, by the way. He's an entrepreneur, too. So he's always like, why don't you try this? And why didn't you do that? I'm like, I don't know. I didn't think of it. So it's kind of funny. So what is new? What kind of, you know, what excites you right now about Entrepreneur? I know there's some new things coming up. Maybe you can give us a little insight.
Yeah, well, we've got a lot going on. Everything from growing internal staff here. We just got a new associate editor, Hayden Field. So I'll start by highlighting her. We're lucky to have her after it's been now a month and a half she's been here. And
nice.
So more coverage coming from our internal news team, as we call it. You know, we've always had the contributor desk. We've had the Entrepreneur Video Network, as Alan has been a part of, with our video partners contributing content to us. So, you know, Entrepreneur is just such a great hub because it has content and ideas coming from all types of people, not just the people who are in our office every day here in New York.
Right.
And one thing that's coming up very soon, maybe by the time our listeners are hearing this, we'll have Women Entrepreneur launched. That's a vertical that's been defunct for a bit, and we're bringing it back. So we're excited to be launching some new columns for that. Everything from, you know, the idea is really to make it not such a rosy, perfect, manicured, like perfect millennial pink woman, but to show the hardships that women face
some
as
grit,
entrepreneurs.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, not everybody looks perfect all the time, and you know, all their rose gold accessories.
Right.
You know, they face some challenges, and we've gotten some people so far with the content we've been queuing up that are really candid about that.
Yeah.
You know, everything from how intertwined your business can feel with your identity to losing a co-founder. So
yeah,
you
and I ran into each other at the Consumer Electronics Show back in January, and I was with Amanda Holmes. Did she have hair back then, by the way?
She did, yes.
Just a little bit though. Well, every time she calls me, when I first met her, she was literally, I mean, you know, she shaved her head like, I don't know, every day, but she was a shaved headed young 30-year-old, 29-year-old millennial woman. And that's when I met her. And I'm like, all right, look, you got to tell me what's going on with the hair or the lack thereof. And she started laughing. She goes, people usually have a little bit more of a conversation before they ask me about why I shave my head. And well, you know, her story is very interesting. Amanda Holmes from Chet Holmes International, her father passed away and left her this tremendously huge, successful business. His business partner was Tony Robbins, Anthony Robbins. So you can imagine the stress that she's under. But you're right. Sometimes in life, you know, it takes a little bit of grit to get through it. And life can be a little bit gritty. So I can't wait to see what happens with Entrepreneurial Woman or Entrepreneur Woman. Or it's actually called Woman Entrepreneur. So, yeah. Okay, well, let me do this. Let me take a little break. I want to come back. I want to ask you about, you know, some of the stuff you do and why were you at CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, and what else do you do? We're talking with, let's see here, Associate Editor, got to get the title right, Lydia Bellinger, Entrepreneur.com. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We're here to help you folks take that jump if you're in that corporate job or, you know, learn some of what it takes to succeed. So we talk to, on this show, successful entrepreneurs, and we get their tips and their secret sauce of their success right here on Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And we have Associate Editor, Entrepreneur.com, Lydia Bellinger. I am so happy to work with the group of people that run Entrepreneur. Bill Shaw, the president, right on everybody right on down. I have yet to meet a person that hasn't been just fun. First of all, I mean, being an entrepreneur is supposed to be fun. Yes, it's got a, you know, a lot of stress associated with it. And you know, it seems like that's part of it. And some people do well under stress. Some people don't. Some people do. Some people are like, I don't want that. And I get it. You know, Lydia, it's one of those things where, you know, if you are predisposed to, you know, thrive in stress, then you probably jump into the pool and hope somebody throws a hose in there and fills it up while you're in the air. Where there's other people, they put their toe in the water and they go, oh, it's too cold. I'll wait till it's a little warmer. And then they find the hot tub and they go, that's what I'm looking for. But there's, you know, the old saying about an entrepreneur, somebody that jumps off the top of a building and builds a parachute out of their clothes on the way down. And so it's a lot of people out there, it's just not their way. They want to have that comfortable job where they get a paycheck. And believe me, I've been an entrepreneur for like 40 years, ever since I was out of high school. And even while I was in high school, I was buying and selling and do things. But there's days when I go, oh God, just to have a paycheck from somebody would be so great. But then, you know, I was driving to work this morning in an awesome little convertible car that I got, a little Triumph Spitfire from, you know, a whole nother era. And I couldn't do anything. I couldn't drink coffee. I couldn't be on the phone. Couldn't do anything because it's this little mechanical car that you have to hold onto the steering wheel and shift gears and watch carefully because it only weighs like 1300 pounds. So if something hits you, you're dead. So I think to myself, you know, I love the life that I have being an entrepreneur. It's afforded me to have an amazing life. I've worked my ass off, but you know what? I'm at the age now where I'm starting to enjoy it a little bit more. I'm a big car guy, so I have all kinds of crazy cars. So what do you do day to day, and how did you get into this crazy business of Entrepreneur Media?
I went to journalism school, very traditional path, fact-checked for a while at Wired magazine, and then I had previously interned at another publication that covers fast-growing businesses, and so that helped me end up here. I realized, like you say, entrepreneurs are problem solvers.
Yeah.
And if you think about different interests that I had, science, tech, culture, you got to have a business most of the time to get these solutions to problems out in the world, that you got to sell it. That's the way, you know, of our world, of our society. So Right. That was the crux of all of it for me. And you can't have, you know, science can only go so far without business, and business is the creator of technology. So it's really in that center. I think it's something that's never going away, and it's the force of a lot of change. And like you said, entrepreneurs have fun, and we cover so many, like, that's our lens through which we see the world. So we cover so many industries. We have somewhat of a small team internally. Like I said, we draw from all kinds of contributors from the outside, but internally we're exploring everything from retail to co-working spaces. So, I mean, it's just, that is the lens through which we see it, and we get to see the whole world and how people are really excited about what they do every day.
Now, do you come from entrepreneurs? Are your parents entrepreneurs, school teachers? Where did you have this draw to, you know, head this way?
I never thought that I would get into business because, no, my dad's an electrician, my mom was a nurse, and later a clerical hospital worker, now unemployed. So from pretty working class background, people who, you know, clocked in. And it's interesting because I've learned so much. And
right, right.
That's driven me a lot.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Being around entrepreneurs, it's a bit of a disease. So you're going to catch it and then because you think differently, you know? I mean, hanging around people, you're like the collective soul of the five people you hang around most. So
it's
you're hanging
true.
Around entrepreneur. You know, you're screwed.
Yesterday, I was talking to some friends about, so the Sox Stadium in Chicago is now called Guarantee Rate Field.
Right.
And I was like, that's a terrible name. That's bad for SEO. I was like, what? And that's just how I see the world now. That's like, you know, I mean, maybe it's good because they've claimed it, but.
That's awesome.
Those
that's
are two
awesome.
Words. Yeah. I just think that compared to some other names, but no hate on that team or that company, of course, just.
Yeah,
that's how I see the world.
That's right. You have a whole nother view through the fishbowl. All right, Lydia Bellinger, thank you. Associate Editor, Entrepreneur.com. So if you like our website, you can pat Lydia on the back. All right, we'll take a little break. Thank you, Lydia.
Thanks, Alan.
All right, Entrepreneur Weekly, we are going to, help you on the journey. Entrepreneur Magazine, the radio show, the videos, the events, the whole brand. We're here to put you up, to put you on our shoulders, help you to become a leader. We'll be right back.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, our show brought to you in part by the 2018 Kia Stinger, fueled by youth. Check out the new Stinger. I just drove it last week. It's awesome. So you guys know that we're, launching Woman Entrepreneur. It kind of was just laying dormant for a while, but Entrepreneur is going to be launching it out there. So we just talked to Lydia a little bit at Entrepreneur Media, and I thought to myself, who can I call and talk to about, you know, being a woman? Well, it would have to be a woman, of course. And so Roya Mattis is on the line, Independent National Sales Director, Mary Kay, and she's got something called Sheeness. And there's just way, way too much to read about you. Hold on. Let me flip this page. Hold on. I got something. One thing that I saw here that helps perhaps to describe you just a little bit. As a life and sales coach and speaker, her primary question is, how can I make a difference to others? And so maybe we start out, first of all, I'm not talking about Mary Kay, because a lot of people do Mary Kay, and you are way up line in Mary Kay. Congratulations for all your success there. But let's now talk about the next phase, shifting gears for Roya, this thing called Sheeness.
Mm.
What is Sheeness?
Well, that's a great question. What is it? And let me be clear that I'm not leaving as a national sales director with Mary Kay. I'm very committed, and I felt like this was a bridge. Mary Kay's mission was, if one more woman today could discover how great she really is, it would be a really great day. And so really what this is a mentorship, a guidance, a help, a outreach beyond the beauty case.
You know, hold it. You said something, and I'm going to help you because I want to save time here. You said something in the commercial break there, and it stuck in my head and went, all right, we got it. That, we're pulling that one out. You said women don't know that it's okay to be a woman these days. They're afraid or something. Maybe you could articulate that one more time for me in words.
What I mean by that, women are afraid to show that they're a woman because they're afraid that it would be deemed as sexual or be sexualized for it. And with these discussions so broad reach today, I believe that there's a lot of good that's going to come out of it. And if we're not careful, we could step in the direction as women of masculating ourselves even more, looking more masculine, acting more masculine, And so I believe that the first phase in the U.S. was suppression for women. The second was liberation. You know, I want to do it all, be it all, and have it all. And in working intimately with women for the past 17, 18 years, I've seen the struggles that they've been having. And I think that we're in a slight miss, leaving many women feeling unsatisfied, frustrated, guilty a lot, stressed out. And so what sheeness is it's fresh, it's sexy, it's healthy, it's confident. It's the realization of one's own unique she. And so I don't try to pretend I know what that is for you. It's not about putting on lipstick. It's not about doing your hair or just tossing it up in a bun. It's about embracing that you are, usually as a woman, also primarily feminine.
Mm. You know, I saw a funny little, I don't know, whatever they call those little things where there's like a, what do they call those? Oh, meme. Ah, took my brain a minute.
Ah.
And I saw it was like an egg with a little face on it. And then there was an Easter egg. And the normal white egg, not colored and fancy, literally said one word to the other egg. The white egg said to the one that was all colored and pretty, whore, right? Yeah. And I thought it was so funny, right? Because I remember my sister, I have one sister, and there's four boys and one girl in my family. And we are a bunch of tough boys, always fighting and calling each other names. And my sister is the second oldest, and I'm number four. And there's one older than me and one younger than me, and then the oldest is a boy. Mm. And man, us kids were tough kids. My sister, on the other hand, she had to be tough also to keep up with all these boys. And she loved horses. And I'm getting to a story here. It's kind of interesting. And so she never, because she was into horses and outdoor life and she wasn't into makeup and being pretty and all that. She just didn't care. She was more of a cowgirl and she loved it. And I love that about her.
Yeah.
But now when I had a daughter, I have one daughter and three boys. My daughter wanted to be pretty. And so the first time she put makeup on, my sister had a fit. And it's so funny because people are different. You know, okay, there's nothing wrong with being a cowgirl. I think that's great. Yeah. But there's also nothing wrong with being pretty. And so it's so funny. The whole thing, when I saw that meme, I thought that was my sister looking at my daughter who put a little eye makeup on and some rouge or whatever, you know. And I remember thinking to myself, man, women can be really hard on each other.
Really?
But your point is so true about what is happening in the workplace today and all this this publicity that is going on. I want you to hold on. We got to take another break. We're going to give you plenty of time to talk about sheeness. And then we'll find out a little more about Roya Mattis. You can find out more about her if you want. Roya, R-O-Y-A, and then Mattis, M-A-T-T-I-S.com. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. And we are going to be launching, you folks, Woman Entrepreneur. The whole vertical is coming very soon. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, we have a special guest today because we've been talking about the relaunch of Woman Entrepreneur. How do you find your sheeness? How do you, you know, tap back into yourself? Well, Roya Mattis is talking about that. She, you can find her, by the way, her Twitter handle is Roya Mattis, but also she has Sheeness Tribe. I like that. And I'm going to pull you back for a moment to tell us about your success with Mary Kay. Tell us about that for a moment. Yeah, give me that.
Sure. Well, that was definitely nothing on my radar, my plan. I went to college and I majored in hotel tourism management. I wanted no 2 days to be alike and I wanted to see the world and I love people. And so I graduated actually hired as an assistant general manager of a property that happened to be number one out of 2,000 properties nationwide. And I'm a deer in headlights fresh out of school, and I was the assistant general manager. And so I worked really hard. I worked 80 to 90 hours week in, week out.
Wow.
My only time off was noon on Sundays. I absolutely loved it, and I ended up getting engaged to my now husband, Noah. Noah and I went to high school. We didn't date then. Thank goodness that would not have worked out. And I started to think, either I'm going to be married to the hotel or married to him. What am I going to be when I grow up? And I don't know if you've ever lived in a situation where you know something needs to change, but you're literally tied in your daily obligations and exhausted and can't even think of getting out of the hamster wheel. And so that's where I was. And I had a divine appointment. I did not know it was my divine appointment, a phone call from a sister property that needed cookie dough, of all things. We baked fresh cookies every day. And on the end of my, 14, 16-hour normal day, I volunteered to drop off that cookie dough. And I walked into this big group of happy, huggy, sparkly Mary Kay women, much like I've become. And I did what any normal woman would do. I tried to avoid them. So I went as fast as humanly possible through that crowd. You see, I grew up with three brothers. Oh. My mom grew up with five brothers. There was no glamour in our household. I had the same two eyeshadows since the eighth grade. And I thought, honestly, these women are so cheesy. They wake up every day excited about lipstick. So I have zero in common with them. And I turned down two sales jobs out of college. So it was nothing I had any interest in. So I saw one bouncing toward me, and I don't know if you've ever seen a woman trying to outrun another woman in heels, but I won.
That is so awesome.
And I literally got behind the front desk wall where only employees could go, and Alan, you know what she did?
She went in there.
She asked him to go get me. That's exactly.
Oh, okay.
This is not kind, but I asked if there was a back door, and just simply because there's no back door, I'm here today. So I came out with my arms folded, and I said, listen, you people have 10 minutes to tell me whatever it is you want to tell me. And I sat down in that lobby, and I drilled them for 2.5 hours. Because my dad taught me, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Yeah.
Now, it's not a get-rich-quick scheme or anything like that, but at the end of the day, what I kind of made a decision on, and I didn't sign at that moment, but I observed them being kind to each other. I observed a group of women who, when someone got up to them from the table, nobody spoke badly about her, and if they said anything, they praised her behind her back.
Wow.
And one of my main decisions to start Mary Kay Cosmetics was for that culture, to finally be around a group of women who lifted each other, because that was not my normal experience.
And so you have, in the number of years that you've been doing this, risen up to the top ranks, correct?
Yes, there's always more. But yes, I'm a national sales director with the company, and that's the top position, and then there's more.
and then there's sheeness, of which
yes.
I want to pull it back to now.
Yes.
We talked about three phases of where women are at. So now people get to know you a little bit, right? You,
yeah.
Like everybody else, thought there was some craziness going on there. And then you kind of,
yeah.
You drank the Kool-Aid and you're like, hey, this is cool.
I like
but
it.
You've kicked some
yeah.
butt, but there's
love
still
it.
More in Roya Mattis
yeah.
that you want to bring this to the world in a different way. So that is sheeness. Talk about those
yeah.
three phases again.
In my opinion, the first phase was suppression in the U.S., the second was liberation. You know, we want to do it all, have it all, be it all, the I can movement.
Right.
And I work intimately with women, and I see that they still struggle. We still feel frustrated, unsatisfied, guilty, and stressed out. And so why? We don't know why. I feel like we are trapped by our own freedom. And it's time to bridge the gap. It's time to help women reconnect with themselves and to connect with other women. So help a woman reconnect with herself, with other women, and with men. And I think we're missing that right now.
So
I call this sheeness.
The third phase you're calling sheeness.
Well, I'm calling the tribe that I'd like to include called sheeness. You see, one of my drives is to give everyone in my genre a tribe, a place where they feel like they belong and a place they feel like they can fully unleash to their full potential and to be themselves. And I'm just taking this beyond the starter kit. And I'll tell you, Alan, I don't feel fully independently equipped. It was a calling, and I just trust that there are many brilliant minds that I will meet and will continue this conversation. But the fact is, the women's movement is in full effect. And we're arguing for what has become increasingly uncomfortable. It's a lack of balance showing up in everything, from finance to religion to the planet and politics and relationships. And in this developed world, we've undervalued.
All right, hold on. What we're going to do is we're going to take a little break. You're going to come back, and we are going to find out the steps that Roya has to help people to tap back into their selves, and ladies in particular, because this is about sheeness. We'll be right back. This is Entrepreneur Weekly.
Thought love was more or less a given thing. Seems the more I
can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly. Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, with the upcoming relaunch of Woman Entrepreneur, we have a special guest today talking about how to find your ladies, your sheeness. Roya Mattis, independent national sales director, Mary Kay, and she is the tribe leader of the Sheeness Tribe. You can find her on Twitter and Instagram at Sheeness Tribe. Steps to tap back into yourself for the ladies that are listening. And I think, you know, it's funny. It's like, okay, the show gets listened to by probably 50-50, men and women. Yeah. So men, more than likely, you can tap into your metrosexual side by listening to what Roya has to say as well. Because my guess is that I don't have no idea what she's going to say. It probably works for men or women. Because tapping into yourself is an important thing. We forget. We turn into these... You know, I mean, life gets downloaded into us by all the needs. You know, you have kids, you have a family, a mortgage, car payments, and insurance, and life happening. And so it's like you've got to then all of a sudden turn into this working robot, and you forget to be human, and you forget to have heart and soul, grace and dignity. So what are these steps, Roya?
This is beautiful for both genders. And the reason is because, Alan, once a woman can really tap into that with men, we're going to find that, men, you're going to get your girlfriend back. You're going to feel like there's this electric energy again, and not a fight, a push and a pull, but rather a flow in both masculine and feminine. And I think ultimately we all want to feel that with each other. So I want women to have it all and actually enjoy it.
So yeah. Give us those steps. Step one.
Here are the steps. Okay, so I'm going to give you five steps of how a woman can begin tapping in to her she-ness unapologetically, to own her she. Number one, own your bold, your unique she, whatever that is, your personal decisions that work for you to, if you love putting on lipstick, put it on every day. If you don't like it, skip it, and don't apologize for it. Your sheeness, my sheeness, own yourself. Number two, you got to access different voices for different situations. And here's what I mean by that. You know, 7% of communication is the words. The rest is body language and intonation, right?
Right.
So I want to speak for a moment on the next two steps on intonation and body language. So if I'm speaking to a group of people and I've got to grab authority as a woman, it has been scientifically proven that a deeper voice captures attention. And so if I'm going to command a space, I'm going to change my tone. But if I'm going to speak to a man and I want to connect with him at a feminine level, then I'm never going to speak with that deeper, more authoritative voice, or I'll turn him off.
Right. True story.
Number three, the access of the body language. Body language is so critical. So if you want to access the power within you, stand powerfully. Put your shoulders back. I cannot tell you how many women I see walking around like Quasimodo because they're hiding their breasts. And at the end of the day, it shows the communication is, I am not confident. You walk around with shoulders curled down and your head down. You look like someone not to follow. You look like you're going to fall on the floor. So put the shoulders back with true confidence. Allow yourself to fully open your body. It is your body, and own it. Mm. Not sexually, but just own it. when you're working in business. And when you're in a personal space, there's a curve that happens in the body, and I'm going to show more of that on small videos because it is challenging to describe by voice, but there's a curve, a lean-in, when you're speaking to men or you're speaking in a softer way that's totally different than holding your body completely erect and commanding. Number four, do things physically that allow you to remember you're a woman. If you're in a mode, whether you're a work-from-home mom, a stay-at-home mom, or complete career woman, there is a driving mode that we get into that taps into the energy that we need that is called masculine energy, the point A to point B energy. Well, that energy is not necessary all the time. And if we drive in it all the time, and the reason I know is because I used to live there, this is where we get stuck. If you feel like you're tense all the time, you feel like your body is out of alignment, you feel like you're angry and you shouldn't be, it's probably because you're driving in something that's not fully who you are. So, Alan, I started thinking that I was masculine at core and didn't even realize how feminine I am because I was driving in that. So how do you do it? You do things that move your body in a feminine way, in a flow. This is our DNA. And so it can be a dance. It can be motions that re-trigger the swirl and the curve of a feminine body. And our DNA is begging as a woman for a tribe. So I do recommend that you get into a healthy female tribe, because from the beginning of time, women sat in circles around the campfire, and this is a place that we thrive in feminine. And number five, stop apologizing so much. We apologize as women for everything, hiding that we're a woman. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I did that. I'm so sorry that I chose to wear a skirt and not pants today. I'm so sorry that my skirt is too long. I'm so sorry that my skirt is too short. We apologize for everything. If you like it, if it makes you feel like you can own yourself, and remember that you're a driver and soft.
All right, hold tight.
Do it.
Take another break. Roya Mattis, R-O-Y-A-M-A-T-T-I-S, royamattis.com. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
So, we are talking to Roya Mattis, royamattis.com. She didn't talk about Mary Kay stuff because that's what she does for a living. This is her give back, this sheeness. You can find the Sheeness Tribe online. You can go to the social media of Sheeness Tribe, at Sheeness Tribe. So Roya, let me just go through these, steps. People need these steps, how to, tap back into themselves. Own your gold was one. Different voices for different situations is two. Body language, very important, three. Energy and the energy that you exude towards others and kind of, you said, kind of like the vehicle that you're in and the energy that it's pushing along with it is number four. I don't know if I got these right. Let's see. Number B is stop apologizing.
Yeah.
But own your gold. Voices, different voices for different
own
situations.
Own your gold, yes.
Body language, your energy, and stop apologizing. So I agree. I think, you know.
Get a tribe.
And
female tribe.
There you go. Get a tribe for the ladies.
Four.
And same for the men. I mean, listen, there's.
Yeah.
I'm watching all this, and you are kind of the collective soul of the five people you spend the most time with. So watch
Absolutely.
That, right? If you're with Absolutely. Bad people, then you're going to end up taking a lot of their poison, their toxicity with you. So my daughter, I'm a granddad as of almost, well, we'll say 3 weeks ago. What do you have children, right? What about when you have babies? How do you, you know, how does it work?
Oh, yes. So I began my business with the thought of having family in mind because I wanted to have the two things I think women want, which is the it all. I wanted to have a great career and be the mom that was present like my mom was. And it was almost a decade before we decided to have babies in the mix of my career building. And I was so ready to be a mom. And when my daughter came... I've never loved anything so much. You taught me a whole new level of love. And I joke, but it's the truth. I feel like all the ambition fell out with the placenta. All of my ambition just went, flop. I don't care anymore. I just want to stare at her. I want to be an organic food making, breastfeeding mom. I want to join the moms group.
You lost all the men right there when you said placenta.
But I got him back with breastfeeding, maybe. I don't know. But it's the truth, and I just fell head over heels, and I thought, how am I possibly going to justify leaving her even for a moment? And I did. I just stared at her. I mean, I was in it to win it that year, and once a year went by, I thought, okay, I'm starting to get kind of itchy, and fortunately, I built a business that could sustain very well.
All right, all right.
But
here's what we got.
After you haven't worked for a year.
Yeah, but here's what we got. Yes. We got 2.5 minutes to give some advice on how to manage time for women with children, or even just managing time for anybody, period. Go for it.
The number one thing, Alan, that I realized is that there are going to be enough limitations written in my daughter's belief journal, and I would not be one of them.
Ah.
And so she was going to grow up either thinking mommy couldn't be an entrepreneur and be a mother, or she lost her business because of me. And I would, once you get a reason, the obstacles disappear. Mm. And so I began to do it for her, not in spite of her, not around her, but because of her. And that changed everything.
That's beautiful. It looks to me like you are on a
mission. Would you like my
quick
5 tips?
Yeah, give me this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mission.
You got 1 minute.
Quick 5 tips for entrepreneurs. Number one, don't compare your beginnings to someone else's middle when you're starting. Number two, get up one more time, as many times as it takes. I've had to do that so many times in my career. Get up one more time. If your fear is failure, you simply get up one more time and you'll never fail. That's the formula to never fail. Number three, pay for great help even if you can't pay yourself for a while. Get that income back with income-producing work, paying people pennies while you go make dollars. Number four, close the door to your business when you're with the people you love so you can totally be present. Put the phone on airplane mode if you have to, because it's super tempting. But be present when you're present. Mm. And number five, invest in yourself. As an entrepreneur, you are your greatest asset. And I would say the bonus is say yes more than you say no to opportunities and just trust yourself to figure it out.
I love it. You know what? I think we're going to have to hook you up with Women Entrepreneur. We have an upcoming launch. I want you ladies out there that listen to this show, realize that you have these same kind of thoughts and capabilities as Roya Mathis. You guys need to share them. Hopefully this platform will be a good place to do that. You can find her at royamathis.com. Again, on social media, Sheena's Tribe. Roya, thank you so much. Great job on your first radio interview.
Thank you. You make it easy, Alan. Thank
That's
you.
That's my job. I'm Alan Taylor. See you next week.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.